Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Sometimes we get confused and we think because we're being tempted that we're sinning. But that's not the case. You can be sorely tempted. You can be pressed on by the enemy. And you can even have internal impulses corresponding to that are sort of, you know, seemingly wanting to push you in a certain direction. But as long as you resist that, if you're not surrendering to it, you're not sinning.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues the topic of spiritual warfare. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, in a message titled, The Tempter and Temptation. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
So, we come to temptation today, and I've entitled the message, The Tempter and Temptation. Satan's most notorious activity is that of tempting mankind. I mean, when we think of the devil, well, we normally think of him as the tempter. That's just I think for most people, that's the thing that immediately comes into the mind. Now, temptation is the solicitation to do evil. The solicitation to do evil. That's what temptation is. And it is the common experience of all people, whether you are a Christian or not. Everybody's tempted. The devil tempts all people. But he is especially targeting Christians. He puts forth extra effort in tempting Christians because he knows that if he can bring down a Christian, he can to some degree discredit the church and bring reproach to the name of the Lord. And that's really what he wants to do. He wants to see Christians stumble. He wants to see Christians fall into sin so he can then point to them and say, check this out. Look at these Christian people. Yep, you're right. They're all hypocrites. Look at them. They said one thing and they do something else. And that is part of his agenda. It's part of his program. And so that's one of the reasons why he tempts us. Another reason Satan will tempt you is simply because he hates you and he wants to destroy you. The devil is nobody's friend. You know, occasionally you find some person here or there, you know, say, well, you know, I've made a pact with the devil. You know, he's a friend of mine, you know. Hey, the devil has no friends. The devil hates everyone equally. He wants to destroy everyone equally. He hates God primarily. So anything God loves, the devil hates. And guess what? God loves you. So the devil hates you. And therefore, he's going to try to destroy you by tempting you and getting you into sin, because sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. James reminds us of that in his epistle, James 1:15. When Peter referred to Satan as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, he was no doubt thinking about Satan's activity in tempting men. A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The picture there is obviously a very destructive one. John Phillips wrote, he's a Christian speaker, author, writer. He wrote a commentary on Ephesians. And in his commentary, he gave a graphic picture of what this temptation looks like. Let me read it to you. He said, Satan has been studying human nature ever since man was created. Satan helped forge fallen human nature. He is a master psychologist. One person he assaults with the lust of the flesh, another the lust of the eye, someone else with the pride of life. The lust of appetite, the love of applause, and the lure of ambition are among the host of darts Satan uses to kindle fierce fires in our souls. He knows our weaknesses and strengths. He sends his legion of evil spirits to titillate our senses, inflame our desires, corrupt our souls, weaken our wills, deceive our minds, deaden our consciences, and distort God's truth. Satan has 1,000 wiles and he never gives up. He never gives up. This is what he does, and he does it 24/7, 365 days a year, year after year, decade after decade, century after century. This is what he does. This is what we are faced with. So with death and destruction as the aim of the tempter, we cannot take temptation lightly. This is where we have to realize, oh, we really are in a battle, and it's a battle for our souls. And so there are three things that we need to do in relation to this. Number one, we need to be able to recognize temptation. We need to be able to realize that this is what is happening. And then secondly, we need to do our best to avoid temptation. And then thirdly, we need to know how to overcome temptation. So those are our three points that we're going to look at. First of all, recognizing temptation. Let me say this. Temptation in and of itself is not sin. Sometimes we get confused and we think because we're being tempted that we're sinning. But that's not the case. You can be tempted. You can be sorely tempted. You can be pressed on by the enemy. And you can even have impulses, internal impulses corresponding to that, that are sort of, you know, seemingly wanting to push you in a certain direction. But as long as you resist that, if you're not surrendering to it, you're not sinning. You're just under a real, in the case like I just described, be like just a severe type of a temptation. But just know that up front. Temptation in and of itself is not sin. Now, in recognizing temptation, we've got to realize this. Temptation is often subtle. See, the devil, he's subtle. He likes to stay behind the scenes. He quite often disguises himself so well that we don't even realize his involvement. He hides in the shadows, so to speak. He works behind the scenes. He pulls strings and he manipulates situations. But he oftentimes, most of the time, tries to just stay out of the way so we don't recognize what's happening. Now, you know, really, the moment you recognize that this is the devil, then you're suddenly like you're on alert. You're like, oh no, I'm not going to go for that. So he tries to keep us from that. Now, another thing that he does in that regard is he comes oftentimes in our minds, or even sometimes it can happen through another person even, but he comes at times as a concerned friend. He comes as sort of a sympathetic voice. Think of Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's exactly what happens there. The devil comes to Eve in the garden and he says to her, he says, has God said that you can't eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden? You know, why would he say that? That doesn't really seem fair. I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but that's really what the devil was saying. He was saying, look, you know, God's holding back something good from you. I'm here to sympathize with you over that. I'm here to just say that, you know, you deserve more. God knows that if you eat that fruit, you're going to be like him. He doesn't want you to be like him. He's trying to keep you back from something good. And so it is with the devil. He'll come along and he will bring those suggestions to us, sometimes just thoughts in our head. But again, sometimes a person can be the instrument, just like the serpent was the instrument there in the garden. But he used the same approach with Jesus in the wilderness. So he comes, and in essence, what Satan's doing there in the wilderness, he comes to Jesus and he's like, wait, you're the Son of God. What are you doing out here starving to death? This isn't right. You deserve more than this. How come your father's not allowing you to eat? Here, take these stones and turn them into bread. You see, he comes as a sympathizer. I'm concerned for your welfare. I'm your friend. Here, let me tell you that you deserve to satisfy yourself. You deserve more than you're getting. So he comes oftentimes in that kind of fashion. Like a seasoned angler who knows just the right bait, Satan knows our areas of weakness and he tempts us accordingly. He knows our areas of weakness because he spent all of human history observing human behavior. And he studies us and he develops a strategy that he wants to use against us that's fashioned specifically for us. And so he will come with something that's just perfectly fit for where you're at. Now, sometimes he appears as an angel of light. I read the fascinating story of a guy that I met and gotten to be friends with a little bit. It's the story of Frank Sontag. He's the host of a talk show on KKLA, the Christian station in Los Angeles. But Frank came out of a whole New Age background. He was as deeply involved in just all of the New Age stuff, dealing with crystals and spirits and channeling and all. He was really, really immersed in that. But he got into it as a result of a motorcycle accident that led him to start asking questions about, what is life really all about? He had a bad experience as a kid growing up in the church, so he figured the church doesn't have anything for me. And then he starts listening to this guy on the radio who's talking about this New Age thing, and all of a sudden, boom, he's connected. Like, wow, this is the answer. Finding the God within and all of that. And that's a good current example of the way Satan will come as an angel of light. You're looking for something spiritual in your life. You're realizing that the whole material thing isn't doing it for you. So you want to get something spiritual. Well, the enemy will come along and he'll present a spirituality to you, but it's a false spirituality. So he will come sometimes as an angel of light. He might come as a damsel in distress for us men. Oh, here's a young, vulnerable gal that just needs somebody to listen and somebody to maybe help out or something. But behind all of that, he's looking to seduce people. And it works both ways, of course, because he can also come as a knight in shining armor. Suddenly, here's this dashing man that steps into your life. Maybe it's somebody you just meet out in the community, maybe it's somebody you work with or something like that, and they're giving you attention and they seem to be so kind and gracious, and you got this jerky and considerate husband back at home, and man, this guy is so, well, hey, wake up. There's something going on behind the scenes here. This is the kind of thing the enemy does. Sometimes it's the solution to your financial problems. It's like, here, look at this. Nobody's going to know that you take this, and this is going to be so helpful for you if you do that. So he's got a variety of things. Sometimes it's the answer to your poor self-image. The list goes on and on and on. Though temptation is sometimes difficult to recognize because of the subtlety of it, and because, as I said, Satan is hiding behind the scenes, though it is sometimes difficult to recognize, you can be sure you're being tempted whenever you're faced with a situation that would lead you to rationalize, compromise, or in any way disobey the word of God. You see, whenever you're in a situation, and like I said, maybe you're not realizing at the moment that this is temptation, but suddenly you're starting to rationalize what you're about to do. And, well, I know that the Bible says this, but I don't think it really means that. I think it allows that you're rationalizing. And what's happening is you're being tempted. You have to realize that. Or when a situation arises where, well, God understands and you can give a little bit here, it'll be okay. That's a compromise. That's a temptation. And then, of course, more blatantly would just be these situations that arise where we are being tempted to just flat out disobey the word of God. So, recognizing temptation is the first step to having victory over it. But secondly, we need to do our best to avoid temptation. Now, I say that, but the reality is we can never completely avoid temptation because we're not the ones that are in control of that. You know, I can't stop the devil from tempting me. He's going to do that. And, you know, that because, as we said, that's just part of what he does. So I can never completely avoid temptation, but we need to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in places or situations that will lead us into temptation. Look, we don't want to give the devil any help. He's plenty capable on his own. We don't want to assist him in any way. So we need to be careful that we are not putting ourselves in a vulnerable place. We need to have a realistic view of ourselves. See, people get themselves into trouble because they put themselves in positions where they can stumble and fall, and they often do that because they're not willing to admit the vulnerability that they have. They think, oh, well, you know, hey, that's not going to bother me. No, I'm above that. I'm stronger than that. I'm better than that. I can handle that. The minute you start thinking that way, you're on your way to a fall. Paul said to the Corinthians, if any man thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. So the moment I think that I am above some kind of thing, I'm already on my way down. The enemy's got, he's got me in a hold right there. So we have to recognize that. We have to have a realistic view of ourselves. This means recognizing our weaknesses and staying away from those things that pose a special problem for you. See, God expects us to do that. He expects us to use our minds. Now, let me just go through a few things. If you've had a struggle with sexual sin, which many people have, then you need to do everything you can to avoid any situation that's going to cause you to stumble. You don't want to put yourself in a vulnerable place. It might mean staying away from a certain person. So often when people fall into sexual sin, it's pretty clear how it happened. We went back to the apartment and it was late and, I was tired and decided not to go home. And then one thing led to, and then, you know, there you are. You're in sexual sin. So you need to not put yourself in things like that. So sometimes a certain person or a group of people, it could mean avoiding certain sources of entertainment, perhaps. Maybe certain films or programs on the TV or the internet. It might even be the magazine rack in a convenience store. Or maybe it's not just convenience stores where they have those kinds of magazines, right? But you have to recognize where you're vulnerable because the enemy knows where you're vulnerable and he's going to try to get you there. So if it's been a sexual thing, then that's what you got to do. If you've had a struggle with alcohol or drug-related issues, then you need to avoid people, places, or situations that could put you into a compromise. You know, it's sort of just common sense, right? If you've had an alcohol problem, you don't go hang out in a bar. You just don't do it. You just recognize, you know, certain places are off limits, and in some cases too, certain people are off limits, because when I'm with those people, that's what I would tend to do. So you have to withdraw from that. You have to disengage from that. Anything that could lead you to compromise, you need to stay away from. Maybe you've struggled with more subtle issues like pride, self-righteousness, self-centeredness. Again, those are sins as well. And what we need to do is we need to be careful not to feed that. So we need to stay away from, in that kind of a case, things that will lend themselves to those sinful attitudes. You know, Jesus told us that we are to pray to God, lead us not into temptation. So we pray and ask God not to lead us into temptation. We need to make sure that we're not leading ourselves into temptation. That's what we're talking about. But like I said, the enemy, he's going to go after the areas that we're weak in. I have a friend who had struggled with lust and, you know, looking at things that he shouldn't be looking at. And I'll tell you how the devil works in these kinds of ways. He was on his way. He had a devotional time in the mornings, and he would go to a particular place to have his devotions. And as he was going there that morning to spend time in the Word and prayer, he's got his Bible in his hand. He's on his way there, and he walks past a trash can, and he's got to throw something in it. So he throws something in and just sort of inadvertently looks into the trash can, and there, lo and behold, there's a pornographic magazine right there staring him in the face. It's like, hey, pick this up, check this out. And this was an area where he had a vulnerability. He was struggling. You see how ruthless Satan is? He's on his way to pray and seek God, and the devil just throws us in his path. We have to be wise. We have to be careful. I was talking to a young guy recently, and I was actually joking with him because he has this totally archaic, outdated flip phone. And I was harassing him about that because he's an otherwise, you know, real savvy tech guy, and he's a musician, and he's a filmmaker, and he's all this, and he's got this dumb phone. And, you know, like, why do you have that phone? And I was teasing him about it. And all of a sudden he says to me, he says, well, yeah, I used to have an iPhone, of course. He said, but I found that, you know, I struggled with some lust, and that was, so I got rid of it, and I got this dumb flip phone. Yes, it's stupid, but it protects me. It keeps me from that kind. And I thought, wow, that's the kind of thing he's thinking. He's doing what we're talking about here. And so sometimes those are the things that we have to do. Things that are maybe more convenient, but yet if they're causing us to stumble, we've got to deal with that in whatever way we can. So recognizing temptation, avoiding temptation, the best we can, not, you know, putting ourselves in those vulnerable places. But then we come to overcoming temptation. Now, the only good news about temptation really is that we can overcome it. Now, the interesting thing, you know, God allows us to be tempted. He doesn't tempt us. We're told specifically that God is not tempted with evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But every person is tempted when they're led away by their own lust. So know this, God does not tempt us, but he does allow us to be tempted. And there's two things that happen in temptation. There's the opportunity to show our love for God. We say that we love God. And oftentimes what temptation is it's really the opportunity to put something above God. So God allows that. Do we really love him? We say we love him. Well, do we really love him? Well, here's an opportunity to test and see. But the other thing that happens is that we get strengthened when we pass victoriously through temptation. It's like we become better fighters spiritually. We become, the more you live and you go through temptations and you know, you have your struggles and difficulties and your falls, but then victories, and the more victories you have, you become like a seasoned warrior and you become stronger. And so God uses these things also to strengthen us.
For the month of July, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Answering Jihad, A Better Way Forward by Nabil Qureshi. Have you ever wondered how a Christian should respond to radical Islam? Or if jihad truly represents the religion of Islam? In his book Answering Jihad, Nabil Qureshi answers these important questions and addresses others as well, such as, what is jihad? Why are Muslims being radicalized? And what does Jesus have to do with jihad? To discover the answer to these questions, we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbrodison.uk. order Answering Jihad, A Better Way Forward by Nabil Qureshi. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0-208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we continue the topic of spiritual warfare. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.